The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We have made it, and I say that gleefully, to the final hour of our program. It's been busy with Coach Shrinkwich in the last hour, Andy Katz earlier, and so many other guests along the way, but really excited about our final guest of this afternoon, Heather Dinich from ESPN, who has been covering this college football conversation brilliantly, and she joins us now after having spoken to Mark Emmert. Thanks, Heather, for the time. So take us through the conversation with the NCAA president.
Well, Paul, we talked about a lot of things, from the NCAA's role in this. You know, Ross Bjork, the Texas A&M athletic director, spoke to me about how he wishes that there would be one voice, and the frustration in terms of not having some sort of unified football czar. And I asked Emmert directly and gave him Ross's quote, and he said he understands that frustration, but because there are 19,000 sports spanning coast to coast, and really you're seeing a reflection in college football and sports of what you see throughout the country with the coronavirus pandemic, is a state-by-state reaction to it. It's very hard for the NCAA to put out a blanket statement and say this is what everyone should do. So we talked about that. We talked about testing, whether or not conferences should be responsible for that or individual schools. Again, it goes back down to the local level where that's likely to happen. So just a broad range of topics, his reaction to the Marlins, so many things. And basically, he's still very, very concerned about the status of fall sports, as is everybody that I talk to right now.
Yeah, and Heather, it seems like if you compile all of his statements, and you know, the statement issued last week, the one a few weeks prior to that, he has been consistent, unlike some of the people that we deal with every day, about the concern. And I realize you're reporting on and interviewing him, but I'm really curious what you're talking to him. We're not. What you're hearing under that concern, what is he trying to tell us, if he's trying to tell us anything?
Well, I really believe it's genuine, and he's telling me that he's talking to the student athletes, and they're telling him they want to play, they want it to be back to normal, and he's saying it's never going to be normal on campuses this fall. There's a lot of concern surrounding what the NCAA Board of Governors might do with their fall sports, 22 NCAA-sponsored fall sports championships, I should say, because they're considering canceling those, and what kind of an impact that would have. And he talked about how difficult it was to tell student-athletes in the spring that their season was essentially ripped out from underneath them. So his concern is genuine, and it's reflective of what I'm hearing from the conference commissioners and the athletic directors. What happens when 50 to 60,000 student athletes return to campus for the summer? That's why he said to me he thought it might make sense to delay the start of the season. You can continue to watch the pro sports and what happens with them. You can continue to evaluate the coronavirus tests on campus as football players actually put on helmets and pads and start to hit each other. There are just a lot more scenarios that can unfold, and he thinks, along with some other people I've talked to, that it could be worth pushing the season back to see how that might play into the decision-making process.
And Heather, makes a lot of sense. Everyone's thought we were moving toward a delayed season, and now you talk to these people every day. It seems like some conferences are trying to push it up. Where are we right now?
Well, I feel like we're at a standstill. Writing a story for tomorrow on ESPN.com, and it basically, to sum it up, uncertainty is the only certain thing we know right now in college football. And, you know, we heard Greg Sankey talk about what a pivotal week this might be. We heard ACC Commissioner John Swofford say he expects the NCAA or the ACC's board to make a decision tomorrow. NC State's own chancellor told me that he thought that the ACC presidents would vote tomorrow on a scheduling model. And now they might not vote at all. They might vote. Who knows? You know, it is literally a news cycle, Paul, that is so fluid. I've never seen anything like it. Decisions change by the hour. They change by the Zoom meeting. And it's just a constant catch up of what do we know and what we don't know. And the biggest news this week might honestly be no news at all. It might just be that they push it forward through the start of August and see what happens.
I don't want to come off naive because the two of us have a lot of conversations throughout the day on these subjects, but I'll ask you is if I am somewhat uneducated and just driving down the street hearing most of this for the first time today, but what are their biggest issues right now in terms of having a determinative date and then having this week, as you just got through saying, push it back another week or another week after that? What's stopping them from making decisions?
Well, there are a lot of things stopping them. For one, they don't have all of the data, right? If you look at the college athletics right now, I mean, for example, I got a release from Maryland, and they had no positive tests. You know, it's just they are in the cozy confines of those athletic facilities, and they are in their sort of protective bubble. Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly told me when campuses come back, they're leaving that bubble, right? It's basically the opposite of what the NBA and the NHL are doing. They want to see how does that work. They also want to give the coronavirus pandemic itself and give society a chance, if you will, to further flatten the curve. I mean, a month or so ago, this was an entirely different outlook. And then you saw the trend go in the wrong direction. So what does it look like in a week from now? The other thing, Paul, is I think that they're waiting for the NCAA's Board of Governors possibly to say whether or not they're going to cancel those fall championships. Because if they do, then those schools have to say, well, are we going to play a fall season? Which they still can. But if they don't, then the optics to play college football are something that everybody would really struggle with. And also the decisions of the university presidents and what those restrictions for coronavirus would look like on each individual campus. There's just so many unanswered questions still.
Heather, on that front, you're absolutely right. The board was supposed to meet Friday or supposed to vote. They didn't. They pushed it back to next week. Had they voted on Friday, which they were planning on, what do you think the outcome would have been?
Well, it could be a significant trickle-down effect. You have to remember that one of those championships that they control is the FCS football championship, right? But Mark Emmert talked to me today about how different that is, obviously, from the college football playoff, which the NCAA does not control. He said the difference there is you're talking about 20 teams, you're talking about a true bracket, and all of those fall sports championships he's talking about require gathering a lot of student athletes together. So when you're looking at the potential impact of not playing that and saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and push through with the college football playoff, it's possible to take two teams, put them in a bubble, play a game, and then do it again. But that's quite a different scenario from what they're looking at with the FCS. But again, I think it all goes back to optics of can we push through with this when others aren't.
Let me close on the optics because that ultimately may determine everything in spite of the conversation about data and whatever else these people that you talk to every day are saying. The optics don't look good today. How different are they going to look in a couple of weeks, do you think? And do the people running college football, the commissioners, really care anymore how good or bad they look as long as they get this in?
Well, 2 points on that. One, I have to say that every commissioner and athletic director I've spoken to, Paul, has said, we are going on the advice of our medical authorities. And I sincerely believe them when they say that if those doctors or physicians at any point go to them and say, you cannot do this anymore, it's no longer in the best interest of the student athletes, they will raise their hands and they will surrender the season. That being said, nobody has told them that yet. And because of that, the Big 12, the SEC, I talked to the Sun Belt today. They all want to play 12 conference games. The AAC still wants to play too. So Nobody has told them that they have to stop, so they are going to continue to put one foot in front of the other because they desperately want to play college football. Some of it is financial, and some of it is because of the student-athletes. I talked to the Morgan State Athletic Director, Paul, and he said a big piece of the puzzle people are missing is the mental health aspect on the kids that we've told you can't play, because as an athlete, they identify with that, and that's also a major part of this, too. So, again, lots of factors, but those are some of the few things that we do know right now.
Heather, always great to have you. Thank you so much for your reporting. More from Heather later tonight and all day tomorrow and on ESPN.com. We will take a break, more of your phone calls, and get reaction to all of this after this message.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All good here on the program, and we are going to grab some calls the rest of the way, and Augie is up next in New Orleans.
Hey, Paul, can I leave a wake-up call for the start of the season, please?
We're not accepting wake-up calls at this time.
So I got to keep hitting the snooze button every other day?
It's not. It doesn't meet the COVID-19 sanitary requirements.
Okay, well, I'll put a glove on him, keep hitting the snooze button, but... you know, I want to disagree with I-Man. I think the Lord talks directly to a lot of people. I mean, talked to Jim Jones. He talked to Marshall Applewhite of Heaven's Gate, Vernon Wayne Howell, David Koresh. So he talks to a lot of people. So I do believe, though, the rapture's here. And you know what proved it to me? This past football season, when LSU set basically every offensive record there was, I mean, when LSU does that, that's like the Saints winning the Super Bowl. You know that the Mayan calendar's got to be right or something's going on. But, Paul, when was the last time you were out amongst the people?
I was at a store the other day. You mean like that or mean
yeah,
like
big? Yeah, no, like walking around Walmart or...
Oh, yeah, it was. I was at Costco about 4 or 5 days ago.
I got to be honest with you. First time I was really out amongst a lot of
now. By the way, I was in a hazmat suit. And nobody recognized me.
You walking around in a suit like John Glenn with the
yeah. No, I had three people on both sides of me carrying my oxygen and my hand sanitizer.
Well, I got to say, the people I saw, I would say 98% of them were wearing their mask and wearing them properly.
Yes.
The other 2%, maybe 1% had a mask, but they only covered their mouth, so they were breathing things into their nostrils. But I don't know. Maybe it's just the area and what's happening to us, but I think people are really taking it seriously.
No, so. I agree. I've been out quite a bit, much more lately, and I see most – I mean, I see people ripping the mask off as soon as they walk out of a place, but I don't blame them.
I don't either. So, Paul, I'm going to ask you another question. It's about your callers. What is it with Jeffs in Ohio? I noticed there's another guy calling, Buckeye from Ohio.
By the way, Jeff is the next caller, so you can speak directly to him before his call.
Oh, well, hey, Jeff. I'm glad you're doing well, and hopefully he can give us an update. I'm really looking forward on the update to the construction projects that are going on in Ohio. Maybe he can tell us about the Columbus skyline. And I want to thank him. He mentioned that they gave us Joe Burrow, and I want to thank him for the Ohio State coaches being so stupid as to not realize the great talent that Joe Burrow could have done for them. Because I believe with Burrow this year, they might have taken it all. So thank you to the dumb Ohio State coaches, and congratulations for a great 2020.
Hold on one second. Jeff, are you there?
I'm sitting right here. And all I've been hitting the snooze button this whole call.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Augie, if we're so stupid, how do you turn down Dwayne Haskins and Justin Fields? Explain that.
I don't think Justin Fields came to LSU. That's Georgia. Now, Georgia was stupid in turning down.
No, I'm saying, you're saying we made a our coaches made a stupid move. You tell me what's so wrong with going with Dwayne Haskins.
Well, why did you give up Burrow? I think you would have done better with Burrow than Haskins, my opinion, my friend.
Well, that's your opinion, but you also got to realize that Burrow, you know, had some injury issues and was going to get behind Haskins, and so they went with a choice, which wasn't a bad choice.
Augie, it can be summed up in two words, and those two words are Urban Meyer, who by the way, Urban Meyer opted. He ran Cam Newton off too. So this is he's got some precedent here. Okay.
He didn't run Joe Burrow off, Paul. Come on, speak the truth.
Well, this is what I got to say.
I mean, just because you're going to play to your base every time you can on Urban Meyer, I can't help that.
I didn't know Paul had a base. Well, anyway.
Well, he does.
Urban
Meyer.
I don't know if you guys hold on a second. I don't think you guys got the bulletin. This is my last show. I'm taking over Jim Baker's ministry after tomorrow night.
You're coming to the Big Ten Network, Paul?
Just don't go to the ACC Network. They're terrible. But Jeff,
no more networks for me. It's Jim from Tuscaloosa and I are going to open up our own religious network.
Well, before Jeff worries about the SEC and Clemson, he's got to worry about Michigan. He's got a feeling this year that Harbaugh is coming at you to take you down, and that's going to be the end of it for you. It's their turn. Harbaugh's got your number.
It's their turn. I thought last year was their turn.
I'm hoping we have a home and away, home and away this year with Michigan to beat down Harbaugh twice, and that'll be his exit to hit the exit door.
Well, anyway, Paul, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to Jeff. He's such a brilliant, as I call him, the Cicero of Columbus, and I'll let him have his call. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thanks, Augie. It's all yours, Jeff.
All right. Can I unplug the alarm clock now? The button?
The Cicero of Columbus. I mean, how good is that?
I don't even know what Cicero means, so you may have to explain that to me. I'm sorry. I don't understand all those big words. Hey, Paul, I want to compliment Heather Dinich. I've never been a big fan of hers when it comes to the college football playoff coverage, but I think covering this situation right now might be her wheelhouse. I'll give her that big time. Because one thing she said, and what's funny, I wanted to ask you a simple question that she mentioned. This story in the ebb and flows basically is changing dramatically by the hour, if not every day. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I do a lot of work with Heather outside of this program, and she's unflappable. And the hardest challenge I would have in Heather's job is to talk to all these people and do it with a straight face.
Right. But are you be honest with me, and I think you normally do when I ask you a question, are you getting to the point where you almost want to see it not start because of this such dramatic episode?
No, I would like to see them say we are playing football, and that's all they need to say, Jeff. To me, the frustrating part I have is just all this double talk,
and
they have to say is, we're playing football. The season starts on September 5th or October or August, whatever. Let's quit playing around here. And have you heard anybody say that?
No, and that's what I'm getting at. You hit it on the nail on the head. You know what they're doing? All they're doing is setting up all these critics that are going to lay in the weeds. Every week they're going to find things because they're trying to play both sides of the
situation. You're absolutely correct.
And so all they're doing is forming this big pile of people that can't wait to get all their click. The headline stories of every news outlet is going to be critiquing How many guys?
By the way, you know, you may, people may be surprised by what I'm about to say, but because I'm clearly not a fan, but I think Mark Emmert has been consistent with his comments. He hasn't played around with the facts. He said this is a tough situation. This is what I think we ought to do. The other commissioners are playing Monopoly. I don't know what they're doing.
Right. No. And I think, you know what part of the problem, though, is, Paul, and that Heather hit on it, the college sports model in the United States couldn't be a worse model for a situation we're in right now.
You're right.
Where you have such, you know, disjointed groups that all think for themselves. There's no central office that we're all kind of begging for. And was I don't know who it was, Andy Katz or somebody that said they probably really don't want a central voice because then they're going to lose their individual power.
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
So this disjointed college model couldn't be any worse for the situation we're in. And this back and forth wavering every day to try to look good on both sides.
But here's where I think it gets interesting. And, you know, I mean, I'm to the point now where you just tune out all the noise about what we're trying to do and what we're doing and what we did last week and what we're not going to do. That August 4th vote by the NCAA to me is very important, Jeff, because if that committee, like them or not, decide to cancel college football at all levels other than the Power Five, it sends a terrible signal out, and it just makes this already discombobulated entity even worse.
Right, I agree, and that's where Heather was hitting on the optics, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But listen, there's nothing that, in fairness, there's nothing Bob Bowlesby can say that's going to be accepted either way. If he says this, we're going to play college football, you know, doesn't make any difference. Then he looks insensitive. If he says we're not going to play, he gets ripped to shreds. So right. I mean, they need really good news, especially from the NFL. I mean, Major League Baseball is just a train wreck anyway. But the NFL is the same sport, except they get paid. And if we're 2 weeks down the road and the NFL is running very efficiently, then they're going to get the green light they need. Other than the fact that they have no idea what they're going to do when students come back on campus.
Right, and I didn't realize until I heard you at the beginning of your show say how many NFL players are opting out. And you're right, the college players, that's who they look up to. And if they, I can see the superstars, if a lot of people in the NFL opt out, I it won't amaze me. And then when you
I talked to a former NFL player today who has talked to a lot of his colleagues in the NFL, and he thinks there'll be about 40 to 50 NFL players that say we're not playing once they get to camp and realize what's going on. That's not enough to upset the entire sport, but that's a lot of players. I mean, when six New England Patriots say we're not playing, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But that's, I agree with you and what kind of what Heather was saying. This unknown, the uncertainty, and the wavering of the leadership so fragmented, you know, because of the college model that kind of makes college football unique. Is that
Yeah, and Jeff, I had to run here to the break, but I mean, it's just, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, the Power Five commissioners have a conference call, and by 3 o'clock that afternoon, your conference goes their own way. That's the problem. They're all in it for themselves. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. It's been quite a show, and we appreciate all you being a part of it. Let's talk to Brenda up next in Alabama. Hello, Brenda. Thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you.
You know, Paul, the other night I watched on Netflix a show called Waco. It was about David Koresh and
The Branch Davidians.
Have you seen it before?
No, I haven't seen this one, but I'm pretty familiar with the Branch Davidians, yes.
Okay, the other day, you had a caller that called in, I think Ricky, the one that was talking about.
Yeah, Ricky from Mobile.
Yeah, the one that was talking about the religion and God coming back and the rapture, and he got, you know, really crazy with it all. And he called today too, I think. And
yeah, he's become a regular.
That reminded me of David Koresh. And it's funny because the anger that he had, you know, about the rapture, and you know, it's coming, and we don't know when it's coming, but it is coming. And I just wanted to say that. And also, at the beginning of your show, at the end of your song, there's a lady that comes on that says, "Is this the Paul Feinbaum show or is this Jerry Springer?" And that's so funny.
No, you know, for many, many years, people would always say, "Well, your show's turned into the Jerry Springer show." I'm like, "Going, that's great. Jerry Springer is a billionaire, and I'm still working for a living."
Right. I was about to say, you are way better than Jerry Springer, because the people that call your show, Paul, you're like the referee. I mean, Jim and Augie and Jeff, and am I missing someone else?
No, but I mean, one thing we do here different than some shows is I am, and you've probably heard me say this, Brenda, I am the biggest believer that callers should be heard. And I have a role, obviously I'm the host of the show, but a lot of hosts just like to bloviate for 3 or 4 hours. I really don't. I am entertained by the callers much more than I am entertained by the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's very entertaining when you have different guests that call in. But wouldn't you say that this year has really brought out a lot of the crazies?
Yes, I've never, and I've done this show a long time, Brenda, but you know, normally we get into crazy conversations about college football or maybe something a little bit off the beaten trail, but I mean, we have never, ever, as long as this has been a sports show, had the range of conversations that we have had for the last 4.5 months. And in some ways, it's overwhelming, but it's also energizing because I mean, we're all hoping for the same thing, but this debate about a virus, of which I still don't know very much about, has turned into things I never dreamed of. But some days I walk out of here and wonder maybe I could have done a better job. Than other days I'm thinking I wish the show could go for another couple hours because we have there's so much conversation going.
Right. Well, I scrolled through this radio a couple of months ago because I never knew who Paul Feinbaum was. you know, I watch sports. I'm really a big wrestling fan, so I really keep up with that and MMA and UFC, boxing, things like that. But I do watch basketball from time to time, and I turned on the radio one day and I heard your show. this was a couple of months ago, right before the coronavirus thing started. And I was really entertained. So ever since maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I've been listening every day. And I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. And Brenda, yeah. I'm not, I mean, there's only so much you can be entertaining about with a virus like this. But this is still an investment of your time. And I have found the best way to do it is just to let people be themselves.
Right. See, that's what I think as well. And I must tell you, I have listened to Sean Hannity. I listen to his show. I've listened to Rush Limbaugh, a couple of other people. But I think your show is the only show that's not biased. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're not Republican or really Republican, because they're like one-sided.
Yeah, no, Brenda,
so
I
really enjoy your show because
I listen
to all kinds of people.
I listen to Limbaugh. He's a brilliant broadcaster, but one thing I want to say, and when I was a kid, my friends and I used to go to wrestling on Saturday, and then once in a while we saved up and went to the Monday night. So I think what we have done here is you may have gone to wrestling in your life. We've incorporated those fans who sit there and try to bash the wrestlers over the head with the folding chairs, and those are our callers.
You know what, Paul? I'm 48, and I'm not ashamed to say I've been to 9 wrestling shows.
Oh my goodness!
I've been to one WrestleMania, and I still watch it. Not because I think it's real, but it's entertaining. So, you know.
Well, I tell you, I've gotten to know a few wrestlers, through our travels, and have met them from Ric Flair to Goldberg, and it's the biggest misnomer in the world that wrestling is fake. To do what they do is some of the most difficult takes some of the most difficult athletic ability in the world.
Right. I mean,
it can be the fakest thing in the world, and you still have a chance of killing yourself.
That's true. And a lot of them have really injured themselves in the ring. And that's what I tell people. It's not fake. It's predetermined.
Yeah.
But they do hurt themselves. So it's like with boxing. You know, I love boxing. You know, so, and like I said, UFC, MMA. But I do like basketball, so...
I am really happy that you found this show, and
thank you so much.
You stick with it, and all this is over, I have a lot of friends in Mobile, and I can't wait to get down there and maybe meet you, and we'll go to a wrestling match together.
Yes, we will. You know what? This year they were supposed to have kept, because they come out like every 2 years in Mobile, and this was the year they were supposed to came like in February. But it was canceled somewhere right before the coronavirus, so they didn't come. But, yeah, they come every 2 years here, so they'll be back.
Well, you be well. Brenda, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. And
thank you so much, Paul.
We go from Brenda, and I believe, hey, when I go to that WrestleMania, I want Cat Daddy to go with me. Cat Daddy, are you in?
Son, if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. I miss Vine Bomb. I'm going to bring back some memories for you. You know my wife's from Memphis.
Yep.
And we went down to WMC TV studios and watched live lessons down there with Jerry Lawler. They had Dave Brown and a fellow named Lance Russell.
Lance Retz, what was it? Lance Retzel? Is that his name? Yeah. When I was a kid... we would go there every Saturday, not every, but whenever we could get in, we would be there on Saturday morning.
Yep, they wouldn't have had it down there, and we went in there a few times. There would be people lined up outside waiting to get in down there. And I remember going in there one time, and it got a little crazy. And I think Jimmy Hart, somebody got in a fight and knocked the desk over. And you could see Dave Brown, it busted his lip open. And I knew that wasn't supposed to happen.
And for those who don't know Memphis history, Dave Brown was also like the top meteorologist at the station. So, but he was better known for wrestling, and Memphis was a great wrestling town.
Oh yeah, my father-in-law Dave has also had some electronics store down there. I think he said he bought some video equipment from Dave. I believe that's what it was. But
oh yeah,
we went down. and they watched it in stage and everything, and went down there and talked, and the fellow was telling us that they put the good guys got dressed on the news set, and the bad guys got dressed in the canteen.
That is hilarious.
But there were great memories. I really enjoyed going to them things like that. Jerry Lawler, the Kings.
Oh, yeah, Jerry Lawler, he'll forever be. I hate to run. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.